Happy Sabbath. How are you doing? Good. Have a beautiful day today, huh? Well, I want to share with you the message this morning that connect with the communion service. It's the last banquet. The last banquet. How many of you have a last banquet or last party? Ever you call that last? Well, back in 1992, San Jose opened have a banquet for me, and they say this is the last banquet. And that is the day that I have the banquet, the next morning that I went to Andrews Seminary to study theology. As everyone's so excited about it, I'm not so sure they're so excited that they want to see me leave, but I think they're more excited about the food, the mingle, the party, whatever it is. But in my mind, I don't feel so comfortable. It's hurt because I don't think I will see some of them again. I will travel very far away. I will spend many time with the Lord. And I just thought about that moment. Do people realize that's the last banquet? Do people realize that that's probably the last time I will see them? I thought about Jesus Christ when he opened the last banquet. Remember that on that Thursday afternoon, as they prepare for the banquet and the night draw near, they come together and they eat. Wherever Jesus go, the disciples get a chance to tag along to enjoy what other people give to Jesus. They throw a big banquet for Jesus because maybe Jesus did a great miracle. You know, if someone do some miracle for you, maybe you throw a banquet for that person. And so all the disciples gather around, and many times they have banquet. All along the road, people treat them well. Because probably Jesus is probably the stars of the crowd, and everyone follow. But somehow in Jesus' mind, he knows this is the last banquet, where the disciple will never understand that. I don't know how many times did Jesus try to describe, this is my day, and the day is drawing near, I will not see you again, and they still don't understand what's going on. Where do you go? Where do you go that we cannot find you? And Jesus said, you will not understand now, but you will understand later. Picture in my mind with you in the last banquet. What happened? They should be celebrate. They should be enjoy. All the good food prepared for them, free. But somehow they look in Jesus' face. Jesus not so happy. Not like any other banquet. If something happened to him, if something happened to their master, and they keep asking, what happened? Is something wrong? I probably think that this is the last banquet. Jesus didn't say much. But every word he said probably have a lot of meaning. And not only that, probably keep coming back to their mind as the years go by, what happened in that room. Well, he spent 3.5 years with his disciple, more than anyone else in this earth. And his goal is to train and to mold this disciple to a great man who share the gospel. But as he look around the room, those 12 disciples, it's not anything like what he thought. Matter of fact, turn the Bible with me. What happened to that in that banquet room? Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22, verse 24. In that particular banquet room, there's something happened that's hurt Jesus so much. The Bible says that, but there also rivalry among them as to which of them should be considered the greatest. Here it is. This is the last moment that Jesus is able to mingle with his disciple, his best friend. And here they don't want to talk about it. They want to see who is better. They probably come to Jesus. Jesus, among 12 of us, who is better? Tell us. And so we don't have to fight about it. Just imagine with me that if I come home with my children, 4 sons keep fighting about, Dad, tell me, who is better? Who do you love most? I cannot answer that. I don't think Jesus can answer that either. I thought about it. Maybe Jesus is so discouraged. 3.5 years, he's teaching so many parables, do so many miracles, and they still don't get it. They don't get it. Maybe Jesus say, Father, this is a failure. It's not worth me to forget everything in heaven. Come down here and spend my time with these 12 disciples. And the last moment, they couldn't get it. Well, turn with me to the Bible text. This is just right there in the banquet there. Turn with me in the book of Matthew, chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26. Jesus said that there's something going to happen. Something going to happen. And right there, Peter, in the spotlight, he really know exactly what Jesus is going to say. And Peter said, verse 33, chapter 26, say that Peter answered and said to him, even if all made a stumble because of you, I would never make a stumble. Even though other 11 disciples make a mistake, not stand up for you, Peter said, I will stand up for you. Verse 34, Jesus said to him, surely I say to you that this night, this very night, not too far away, this night, before the rooster crows, you would deny me 3 times. I can see in Peter's mind, say, no way. How could that be? I'm probably the best among of the other disciples. I will fight for you. I will stand for you. How can you say this, Jesus? But Peter know it very well that Jesus can read his mind and know his heart. Well, what Peter tried to start is he said, you know, Lord, even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you. He wants to say again, if I have to die for you, I will never, never, never deny you. Other disciples say, why, if Peter can do that, I can do that too. All along in that banquet, they keep fighting. They start to put themselves up. They want other people look at them better than anyone else. And there's Jesus' heart broken. How can these men will be a great man to share the great message in a great time like this? How could it be? Well, I can tell you, probably Jesus cried out to God. He's hurt. But the time draw near, he had to go to pray the Lord. You know, when the time, when there's a problem within the disciple, when the bickering happening, when fighting's going on, the best time, the best thing you could do is to pray. That's why Jesus said, enough of this. Jesus, I don't want to hear about him. He's going to go out to the Garden Gethsemane and he's going to pray. He's going to pray to the Father, say, you know, Lord, give me more time that I have to teach these disciples a lesson. But no, the time is here. Matthew chapter 26 and verse 39. Jesus said, oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but you will. This bitter cup, about to drink, the cup of death, about to partake. And Jesus said, if it's possible, extend a little longer. Let it pass from me. Why? But he asked, last phrase, say, it's not my will, Lord. It's your will. If you see it's fit for me to die now, so let it be. I can imagine that Jesus not only prayed for himself, but he prayed for others. You know, when he around with the disciple, no one can touch his disciple. The miracle will happen, vanish different places. No one can do anything. But the day, the minute Jesus is going to leave them, the wolf will come. Satan's snare will come. And that moment, the disciples are up to that. That means if they bickering, if they don't think about Jesus, when Satan will come, we took them away. That's what happened. When the soldiers come take the master, guess what? They all scatter. Like sheep, no shepherd. Just only an hour ago, they said, you know what? I will never deny you. I will stand for you, God. I will stand for you, Lord. And they find themselves weeping. They don't know themselves as the Lord knows them. I can imagine that Jesus was captured and hang on the cross. Look around, where is my disciple? Where are the ones who say that they stand for me through the thick and thin time, through death? Where? What will happen? What will happen to this disciple? Well, later on, Paul teach the church, the early church, a very important lesson, Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, as the disciple reconcile, as disciple reminiscing what happened in that upper room. And this word is so important for them then as for us now. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3, let nothing be done through selfish ambition and conceit, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem others better than himself. The teaching that God has been taught in them, that be humble, uplift others more important than yourself. As a disciple, don't think that you better than others. Look at others better than you. Uplift them. Give them. Support them. The disciple learned that rich lesson. Verse 4, let each of you look out not only for your own interest, but also for the interests of others. The point that Jesus came to this earth is to teach one thing. And one thing only will make all the difference. That one word is love. If you have love, you will do everything for other people. You will be the servant. As Jesus said, I come this earth not to be served, but to serve. And if you follow me, you do the same. As you come to this church, in your home, in your workplace, remember God called you to be a servant. And if you don't have the love of Jesus Christ, you cannot serve others. And God teaches so many lessons about love. If you love one another, they will know you are my disciples. That's all he is. 3.5 years, all he teaches about love. Because love will change everything. The power of love will change everything. Not no challenges in their life that they could not overcome if they have the love of Jesus Christ in their heart. Oh, the disciples think about that last banquet. They will never have the same banquet that ever before. I can see that they start to confess the sin, to be humble. In 3.5 years, they don't understand the message. But in the 10-day in upper room, they get the point. What about for us today? Do we get what Jesus' message is? Do we still want to be a great leader or a servant leader? As we come to this year, the first Lord's Supper, we need to lay the feet of the cross all our selfish pride. That we feel that we can do something great. But God said, if you want to be great, you have to be last. You have to be the servant. You have to uplift other people. You have to love them so much that you're willing to kneel down and cry before God for that lost soul. For that member. For your brother and sister. My friend, I think I need this more than ever before. That we have to understand why there's our Lord's Supper. And the circumstance it was in. Jesus won't tell us, lay it aside. Just come to me. Don't worry about who is great. But once you have my love, you will be the great. Come to Jesus. And you understand why he lived and died for you. He lived and died for me. And I should do the same for others that he have died for. None of you in this room that I should look that I will be greater, but I'm your servant. And all the leader of the church, so serve just like Jesus served. Our church will be great when we learn the lesson of love that Jesus taught his leader to be served other. Shall we pray? Oh Lord, our church will face, regardless, great challenges. When you left this earth, there's not a day that Satan stopped trying to kill the church. And he will do continually until the end of this earth. And our church is not exception. You put on us a great challenge before us, build the great mission center, to print the great controversy book, to go out in every highway and byway to share this great gospel. But as we do this, there's turmoil in our church, in our brothers and sisters, in our leaderships. Lord, help us to grasp what is most important lesson that you have taught us is to love one another to the point that willing to sacrifice for others. Help us to follow your footstep that we can share the great gospel until the end of time. We pray all in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.